ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt here to talk about your TNA Impact Wrestling audio review for the April 19th, 2012 show. And it is April 20th right now, and how fitting that today we're going to discuss Rob Van Dam being the number one contender for the TNA Championship. That's just, it seems like they planned that, doesn't it, guys? Kind of weird. There's a lot to talk about on this show. It was the follow-up to Lockdown, and I want to start this show, actually, by talking about Lockdown real quick. And .NET members have heard this quite a bit this week, so my apologies to them, because they heard it on the .NET Countdown. They heard a little mini version of it again in .NET Weekly, and I'm going to put it out there, but I am going to try to keep it a little bit shorter than I did on the Countdown. And it's about Lockdown. It's about the ending of James Storm versus Robert Roode and just the booking decision that was behind it. I can understand the thought that you only get, I can understand the thought that it was not the right time in the Roode versus Storm feud, that it wasn't the right time in that particular feud to put the belt on Storm. The problem is that it was the blow-off cage match. Yes, you didn't have the match before it at the pay-per-view that ended in a schmoz. You didn't have all of that. You didn't have the normal lead-up to the blow-off cage match. But still, this was the blow-off cage match. You're not going to put Roode versus Storm in a cage again. It's not going to happen. So, with that in mind, and I understand that thought. I really do, and I agree with it. It wasn't the right time. The feud wasn't structured correctly. I said it when Sting versus Roode for Victory Road was signed. This is a poor choice. It just is. So I want to talk real quick about moments in wrestling. About that special thing. And we hear it a lot in WWE. We hear about the WrestleMania moments. We hear about the, we hear about all of these different moments that you get in wrestling. Well, you only get so many opportunities in wrestling to make a moment. A wrestling company does not have unlimited moments to use. They can't just create one out of thin air. You've got to have the right person, the right place, the right time, the right feud. Everything has to be working together for it. And the problem that we see here is that moments don't come all that often. TNA at Bound for Glory, they had a chance to create a moment back in October. They had built it up. They had the video packages there. They had it all. It was Robert Roode's journey. The whole Bound for Glory series was supposed to, kind of come together in that one moment. Well, of course, that moment didn't happen. Kurt Angle got the screwy pinfall with his hand on the ropes. And that moment that was supposed to be the crowning achievement for Bobby Roode, that was gone. Fast forward now to, let's fast forward to Lockdown. And that moment that could have been James Storm's. And, you talk about the person, the place, the thing, all of it was there. That entire moment was there. It was set up. People were ready for the moment. Well, the moment didn't happen. The moment did not occur. And the reason why the moment did not occur was because TNA changed their minds. They looked like they were going full bore with something, and they changed their minds and went back on it. I think they hurt their reputation with the fans. I think they hurt their reputation with anyone. It was really sad. I want to talk about moments a little bit more. You only get so many opportunities to make a moment. You only get so many opportunities to have that moment. It was Nashville. It was James Storm's hometown. It was James Storm's journey. It was his former tag team partner. It was vengeance. It was built up. It was ready. It was ripe for the picking. That moment was right there. And what did they do? They didn't say, we're going to wait, or we're going to do this. They said, no, we're going to go with this screwy ending again, and the heel's going to win. And What it does is it builds up distrust in their product. Fans watching now know not to get behind the babyface they're building with the workout tapes, with the, you know, with the big video packages, with the sworn vengeance, with the this is my time talk. No, you can't get behind that babyface anymore. Because TNA, now, twice in a row, has shown you that you can't. You shouldn't. It's a mistake to. And that's sad. That is really, really sad. When you get down to it. Because you should be able to get behind that moment. You should be able to buy into a moment that way. And TNA seems intent on not allowing you to do so. So let's talk about TNA match finishes real quick now, too. I am giving you a little bit of a locked-in review. It's been how long? Like, since before Bound for Glory. The pay-per-view before Bound for Glory was No Surrender, and that had a screwy finish involving Angle and Hogan. And then every single pay-per-view since then, Bound for Glory, you know, turning all of them, every pay-per-view of the Rude title reign has had some screwy ending. Why are people dropping money on this product? Why should someone want to? All of these things contribute to a general apathy towards the TNA product that they have to battle, that they have to try and come back from. But enough about that. Enough about, you know, whining about moments. Let's get into this show, because James Storm had a really nice moment on this show. Was it the moment that it should have been? No. And I'll get to why. But I wanted to preface, because my thoughts on this show are really intertwined with my thoughts on Lockdown. My thoughts on this show have a lot to do with Lockdown, simply because Lockdown was the prelude to this show. Lockdown was the show before this one. Lockdown was the show. You know, it was an important show, as was this. And this show kicked off with video package highlights from Lockdown. Decent package, you know. They did the best with what they had. I still, you know, I will talk your ear off, as I am right now, about how much of a mistake putting that belt on, or keeping that belt on Bobby Roode was. And I really believe that. I'm not, you know, I might be the only person from this website that believes that. I'm not even sure. But, you know, I believe it. So we kick off with Lockdown highlights, and Bobby Roode came to the ring with a new short haircut. Let me echo Jason Powell here real quick. He said on Sunday night and on Tuesday on the live cast, why not when Kazarian cut his hair? It's a guy who has had long hair for a long time, had the same look. Why not have a hair versus hair gimmick for Kazarian? Something. Same thing with Bobby Roode. Why not have someone shave his head? Have that be some modicum of vengeance? Have that be something, you know? Instead of him just showing up with a new haircut, why not explain it and get something out of it? Bobby Roode is an arrogant heel that people dislike. I think someone would find pleasure and satisfaction in seeing him have his head shaved bald. Why not make that happen? What's the worst that happens if you do that? You waste another month of pay-per-view? Oh no, you wasted a month. You know, it's what TNA does anyways. Our pay-per-views are a waste, and they're a waste of money. For everyone involved, because I don't think they're making money off of them either. So, but he came out with a new short haircut. And he made it to the ring and said that although his appearance has changed, the champ is still the same. The crowd started chanting, shut the hell up, and all that. Roode said he kept his promise that he would defeat James Storm. He gave Storm credit for the fact that, you know, it was Storm that kicked him out of the ring. And at this point, I thought to myself, does Bobby Roode have a finisher? Or is his finisher taking other people's finishers? Because I'm pretty sure what Bobby Roode does is actually just, hey, hit me with your finisher, now I'm going to pin you. That's what happened with Sting. You know, Sting hit the Scorpion Death Drop, Bobby Roode pinned him. That's what happened with James Storm. Storm hit the Last Call Super Kick, Bobby Roode escaped the cage. Just odd. You know, his finisher is taking other people's finishers. Champions in WWE that have lacked credibility over the last few years, I can still tell you what their finishing moves are. You know, you've got, Daniel Bryan, not the most credible world champion. He has the Yes Lock, newly renamed. Talk about Alberto Del Rio, when he was WWE champion that one or two times. What? Did he really become a two-time champion? That is ridiculous. Cross-Armbreaker. The guys that lacked credibility in WWE. The Miz with the skull-crushing finale. Not a credible champion, but still. Guys that lack credibility in WWE still have their finishing moves, and they're still over. I can't tell you what Bobby Roode is. I can't tell you how he sets it up. I can't tell you how his match psychology is based around it. Other than if his finishing move is taking his opponent's finisher, his match psychology is based on setting up and taking his opponent's finisher, then winning. Yes, I'm in a ranting mood today, by the way, guys. I apologize for that. So, Roode talked about the guys he's beaten, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, James Storm, and then Jeff Hardy came out. Then Mr. Anderson came out. When Roode had a good line saying, there are no heroes left. That was nice. I like that idea. Hey, I've beaten everyone. Mr. Anderson came out, didn't do his whole microphone bit up on the stage, thank God, and cut a really good promo saying, I'm not happy about you hitting me with the beer bottle last week or a couple weeks ago. I believe that I can beat you. I want a shot at your title. Really, really good stuff. There was a little bit of a-hole talk, which just bothers me about Anderson, because his entire gimmick bothers me. But this was good stuff from Penn Anderson. Then we had Jeff Hardy come out. Crowd, loved him. Also, I have to say, the Impact Zone crowd, I don't know what they did, if they're, passing out Red Bulls as people come in and forcing them to drink them. If they're going, hey, everyone in here gets a free t-shirt as long as you cheer when we tell you to. Or whatever it is, maybe they're just finding better fans, maybe cooler people are coming to the Impact Zone, people more into the product. Or maybe TNA has gotten better at splicing in crowd reactions and sweetening the audio so you don't notice that it is sweetened. Not the obvious heat when no one is doing anything that we used to see. But whatever it is, the Impact Zone sounds fantastic right now. Maybe they just mic'd it better. I don't know. But it seems less dead. I still don't like seeing shows in it, but the sound of shows in it does not bother me as much. And Jeff Hardy came out. Crowd was super into him. And he said he deserved a title shot. He said Kurt Angle's the only reason he's not the champion right now. He wants a shot. He deserves a shot. So he should get it. Hulk Hogan then appeared on the screen as Hardy and Anderson looked like they were about to fight. And said, hey, I'm going to have a meeting, brother, with all the champions, brother, later in the show, brother. And I want all the champions, brother, out in the ring. And Bobby Roode, brother, you don't be late, brother. And then he signed a number one contenders match for tonight's main event to Hardy versus Anderson. Interesting. I liked the opening segment. It moved forward, even though I don't think the product should move forward at this moment. It did move forward. And, I've said it before. I think James Storm is the guy you build around. I really do. I think he is the guy that TNA needs to be building around. He is the guy that TNA needs to say, this is our star. We are behind him. We support him. We are going to get him over. That's James Storm. It's not anyone else in that company. It is James Storm. But that's just me. Maybe you have a different opinion. Feel free. Hit me up on Twitter. Email me. My Twitter name is itswilltime. My email is itswilltime@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. Is James Storm the guy? Is Bobby Roode the guy? .NET members, let's talk about it in the forum. Who should they be building around? Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think it's all about Jeff Hardy and Jeff Hardy should be that guy. I can listen to that argument. I can listen to the Anderson argument. There's a lot of things that I can listen to. My personal belief is that James Storm is the guy. I will probably harp on for weeks on end about how lockdown was a poor choice. But in the end, it happened, so we're talking about it. Then we went to commercial, came back to our first match of the night, Bully Ray and Crimson against Matt Morgan and Austin Aries. Pretty good match. Crimson and Morgan, and it was a limited interaction, but they looked better than they have recently, which I enjoyed. Bully Ray, not enough can be said about how much he's improved lately. And finally, Austin Aries. The match was built around Morgan doing the heat segment and Aries getting the hot tag from Morgan. I know, you're checking your ears right now if you didn't watch the show and you're like, whoa, hold up, wait a minute. Aries got the hot tag from Morgan? But Morgan's the big dude and Aries is, yeah, I know, I'm aware. Austin Aries had a fantastic babyface comeback. where he used his speed, his agility, a series of hard kicks, and he was able to actually dominate Crimson and Bully Ray, two larger guys. And I sat there watching this, and I said to myself, that's how you get Austin Aries over in the ring. That's how you say, yeah, his size doesn't matter, guys. We don't even need to talk about it because it's that much of a non-issue. Look at how he handled them. That's what you do with Austin Aries. That's how you get Aries over and over and more over. It's segments like that. It's moments like that where he gets to go out there and shine against larger opponents. And, you know, you do a few more things like that. You have him dominate some bigger guys. You walk down the road a little bit. Suddenly, Austin Aries' size doesn't matter. And he's challenging for the world title. Because it doesn't matter. You know, yeah, he's a little bit smaller, but I always feel like one of the odd things that WWE did with Rey Mysterio, one of the strange things, even when he was a world title competitor, was they kept saying, you know, Rey Mysterio is the biggest little man. He's the biggest little man, King. Did you know that Rey Mysterio is a rather large little man? You're still calling him little. You know, you don't do... And I think TNA... with Austin Aries, they don't have to do that. They can just say, this is the greatest man that ever lived. A-double, Austin Aries. But this match was Bully Ray and Crimson defeating Matt Morgan and Austin Aries in 6 minutes. In the middle of the Aries babyface comeback that I'm raving about, Bully Ray came up behind him, rolled him up, grabbed some tights for our first roll-up win of the evening. Our first, because it was roll-up night on Impact. I think Eric Bischoff was... walking backstage with a self-satisfied, I've got douchey sideburns look on his face. And forgive me for a little bit of colorful language, but I really dislike Garrett Bischoff, so I think it's okay. Then we saw Jeff Hardy backstage talking about wanting a shot and saying, again, another good thing for a babyface is they're saying it's fair that Anderson is getting a shot tonight and that Hogan made the right call and he's excited because he's going to go down there and win. A good... little mini promo from Hardy. Hardy is always best when kept in shorter segments and shorter promos, and I thought this was one example of how he can work well. Garrett Bischoff made his way to the ring with Anderson, Rob Van Dam, and AJ Styles following behind him. All three of those guys walking out to Garrett Bischoff's music. And they stopped in the ring, and... he said, you know, he's just stood there like jovially smiling and then said at lockdown, they put up a hell of a fight. And man, they rid TNA of his old man once and for all. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, don't read the spoilers for next week, Garrett. You're not going to be happy. And then we had this odd thing of Styles taking the mic and going, Garrett, you proved to us that you're a tough guy. And all of that... Here's the problem with this segment. Garrett Bischoff is sitting there, dopey smile, surrounded by top baby faces, bad sideburns that make him look ridiculous. Like, I think with his father being removed from the company, he upgraded his sideburns from douche to thunder douche. Like, I seriously believe that's what happened. And it's evident there that that's what happened. So, Ric Flair came out. He heard enough and... walked out, said, shut up and pay attention to the crowd. Pointed out how nervous Garrett was, because Garrett was just nervously laughing. He wasn't comfortable in front of the crowd. And he said that he would like, next week he wants to make it a tribute night to Eric Bischoff. And when he said Bischoff, it bleeped. So it was a tribute night to Eric. Beep. Awful. I'll get to that in a minute. And he said that, and that was basically it. He's going to eliminate punks like Garrett, AJ, and Rob Van Dam and all that. Backstage, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian were shown, holding a piece of paper. And they, an envelope. And they talked about the secret that Daniels has been supposedly holding over Kazarian. And Daniels revealed, hey, it's not about Kazarian. Guys, it's about AJ Styles. And they went to commercial. So quick thought. The bleeping of the name Bischoff. The first time it happened, I laughed a little bit. I'm like, oh yeah, they're following through with the gimmick. It happened like 4 more times on this show. And I just said to myself, this is stupid. TNA, this is stupid. There are so many gimmicks that you don't enforce. So many match stipulations that you ignore, ignore this one. It's going to annoy the hell out of people. Because it's already annoying the hell out of me, and it's been one show. About the secret being about AJ, I can't think of a more logical thing to happen in this story. Check it out. Daniels goes to Kazarian and says, hey, I have this secret about your friend. If you want to protect him, you're going to join me. So Kazarian's reluctant, and he's angry because AJ, you know, I know I'm kind of writing, you know, coloring in parts of the story that weren't always there, but Kazarian is reluctant and upset because, you know, AJ's getting mad at him for joining Daniels when Kazarian is just trying to protect his friend. Great stuff. Absolutely great stuff. It justifies the Kazarian turn. And then when we find out what it is about AJ, it's going to make things just open up. I like it. Kazarian seems sleazy, you know, or Daniel seems sleazy. Kazarian seems all right, but, you know, there are better ways to handle the situation, so he still keeps his heel heat. And Styles still comes off like a babyface. So then we saw D-Von talking to Magnus and Samoa Joe. And D-Von was asking him why Hogan wanted to see him. And the tag champs were just like, I don't know. We're always kind of ready to fight, though. D-Von, are you? Are you a man? And D-Von walked away. Then we had Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles. And this match started out really nice. You know, Angle versus Styles. Interesting parallel. Tonight, Hulk Hogan had a major announcement. Kind of a new era in TNA for the 15th time. A little bit of a reset. Let's backtrack a little bit to the first time Hogan reset the TNA product on January 4th, 2010. The main event of that evening was Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles. Just a, you know, a little parallel storytelling there that I don't think was on purpose at all. I think they just got to the point where they thought, well, it's time for Angle and Styles again, so we're going to put them in the ring. And this match, it went 2 or 3 minutes, then it went to commercial. Awkwardly, like, in the middle of the scene, the screen went black. And then a little bit later, we had a commercial actually start playing. When we came back, they were already going into their finishing sequence, and Kazarian and Daniels walked down, handed Styles the envelope, and he was like, how did you, where is this, why did this, how did you? And then Angle rolled him up for a three count. Yes, another roll-up, by the way. Roll him up, son! Angle rolled him up for the three count, and the whole time Styles was, like, protecting his paper, his precious, precious paper. I know they can have a great match together. I know that they will have a great match together. Kurt Angle's Twitter holds true when they are having a match at a next pay-per-view. Sacrifice, that's the one. But this was disappointing. And, you know, I'm not expecting them to give it all away on TV, but that commercial break really hurt things. So that's where I'm coming from here. So, moving on, Joseph Park is backstage. He ran into Gunner. And, you know, Joseph Park was like, hey, I heard you're part of that whole Immortal thing. And Gunner then tried to run him off, but Park, and told Park that Abyss was last seen in the ring with Bully Ray, and told him to talk to him, so that kind of worked. I think they're moving forward with something with Park that should be pretty fun. The Abyss character should be exciting. Then we saw the champions of TNA start coming out, and then we got an awkward cut to commercial with Blackness again. It's like, you almost expect this on a live show, but these were ROH iPay-per-view quality gaps on a taped show, which was odd. Notably missing from the champion segment were Eric Young and ODB, who I think are on their honeymoon. And Bobby Roode was the last guy to come out. And it was odd. The announcers tried to play it up like, Bobby Roode requested to come out last in this segment. Yeah, because he's a bad guy. And I was like, no, it's the, you know, I think champions should enter in order of escalating importance. And, well, Bobby Roode's your world champion. He shouldn't be standing there for the entrance of, you know, even Austin Aries. And he shouldn't be standing there for the entrance of Gail Kim or, you know, the tag champs or D-Von. Dear God, he shouldn't be standing there for the entrance of D-Von. D-Von doesn't even deserve entrance music. And it's kind of nondescript and random anyways. So Hulk Hogan and RVD were shown backstage. Then, and Hogan ran into him and was like, hey, thanks for helping me out of lockdown, brother. And he basically turned the main events into a triple threat between Hardy, Anderson, and Van Damme. Decent, you know, it's, yeah, it is what it is. I'll get into my thoughts on Rob Van Damme later in the show. So Hogan came out and said when he's right on the money. And next week, and change is in the air. And he said they start next week. Hogan then announced that once a month, there's going to be a concept called Open Fight Night. And on Open Fight Night, brother, anyone can come to the ring and challenge anyone else. And if you get challenged, you have to come out and fight. Interesting, you know, Open Fight Night, champ, you know, everyone has to fight. And he also said on this night, new talent are going to have the opportunity. And they called it later, they showed a graphic calling it Gut Check, which is also what they call their training seminars. The new talent are going to have the opportunity to come out and have a match against an established TNA star. Someone not in TNA is going to have that opportunity. And they're going to be judged by three judges. And if they meet the criteria set by those three judges, they're going to get themselves a TNA contract. Also interesting. Quick question on that one. Isn't there like a five-person division called the X Division that has been ignored aside from its champion and his escalating popularity? Just a thought. I know Jesse Sorensen is hurt, but Zema Ion's been left off. You know, Tony Nese isn't around. And Tony Nese is a pretty fantastic wrestler. You've got a lot of guys like that who just aren't on TV right now for whatever reason because they have nothing to do with them. Kid Cash was around for a while. A lot of guys who can be really great in the X Division are being held down. But nope, we're going to give these new talents an opportunity instead of going back to those old, used-up, three-week-old X Division talents, brother. So, basically, they'll get a TNA contract. Rude got pissy. Hogan, and then Hogan mentioned that the open fight night, anyone who gets challenged had to fight. Rude asked Hogan who he thinks he is, and Rude said it was his show. Hogan informed Rude that if champions... this was kind of odd. He made it sound like if a champion gets called out on open fight night, they have to defend their title on that night. Which, you know, I'm sitting there going, well, then what's the point of a number one contendership match? Yeah, Rob Van Dam just won the number one contendership at Sacrifice, but next week's open fight night, Jeff Hardy comes out, says, I want me some Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode versus Jeff Hardy for the title is tonight. Who would win a number one contenders match? I'd be like, hey, look, I'm not coming in until open fight night. I'll see you later. I don't know if that's quite how it works, but that's what they wanted you to believe. Then Hogan kind of made a vague thing, saying maybe it's just one title that's going to be defended every open fight night. I don't know. It's odd. It's next week, so we'll get a clarification on the concept next week, which is a plus. And then he turned to D-Bomb and said that since he was a little Hulkster brother, the television title's been defended on TV every week, and he wants that to keep happening. So he decided the TV title would be defended weekly on television. Love that idea. Absolutely love that idea. It's fantastic. The TV title should be defended on TV. Crazy thought. I know. The TV title needs to be defended on TV. They need that presence. Here's the thing, though. D-Von should not be your TV champion, then. Because he's D-Von. And while the Impact Zone loves D-Von for some ungodly reason, where they chant, we want D-Von at him constantly, the rest of the country's going, isn't this that guy who was friends with that other guy back in, they put people through tables back in 00? That's what we call the year 2000, kids. 00. It's not really, but it's awesome. But, you know, they're going, isn't that guy from 12 years ago? That's the noise they make in living rooms across America. And then Hogan said, you know, everyone fights, brother. And I think that might be, you know, the kind of new catchphrase, the wrestling matters of 2012 is everyone fights. All of these are really interesting concepts. I think they should be entertaining. We'll see, though. We will see. Then we had the Knockouts come to the ring for an 8-knockout tag team match, and this was Miss Tessmacher, Tara, Velvet Sky, and Mickie James versus Gail Kim, Madison Rayne, Sarita, and Rosita. And for those wondering, Velvet Sky did do her disgusting entrance again. It's gross. That's all it is gross. I apologize to guys out there who are like, yeah, Velvet Sky, rub your crotch on that rope. It's gross, guys. Gross and class. it's just stupid. And for this whole match, Taz and Mike Tenay, you know how there's always, you know, everyone has kind of the pervy uncle who's just a little bit gross at the family reunion, and you're all just like, shut up, shut up. That's Mike Tenay and Taz on commentary for this match. They're just like, oh, yeah, those knockouts, man, they got boobs and stuff. We like their boobs. Taz, don't you think they're hot? Oh, I love them, Mike Tenay. They're so sexy. I don't want to watch wrestling with my pervy uncle. I definitely don't want him calling matches, and Jerry Lawler has been guilty of this too. So don't think I'm just singling them out, but Taz and Mike Tenay let it get in the way of any story that they try to tell. I mean, for 15 minutes afterwards, they're sitting there going, man, them knockouts sure were sexy. Well, the world champion's in the ring. It's stupid. Taz and Mike Tenay are a bad commentary team, and they should be fired. Done. I'm not a guy who sits there and talks about people losing their jobs, but really, they're a poor commentary team. Mike Tenay has no excitement, no energy. He fakes everything, and he sounds bad. Taz just doesn't care. I'm pretty sure you can take any person with a voice, any voice, and put them in place of Taz and Mike Tenay. And as long as that person cares about the product, is willing to invest in it, and not mind seeming like a mark for the product, which the lead announcer should be, they're going to do pretty well. In fact, they're going to do better than Taz and Mike Tenay. This match ended when Miss Tessmacher rolled up Kim to get the win. Yay, roll-up night on Impact. Everyone gets rolled up. Maybe that should be, instead of open fight night, it should be roll-up night. Then we had Mr. Anderson backstage saying he got comfortable with the camera or something, and he was going to win the number one contenders match. Cool. The knockouts match was bad, by the way. I don't care about Velvet Sky. Then we saw ODB and Eric Young sunbathing on their honeymoon. Eric Young took off his pants. End of sketch. We saw James Storm walking backstage. And again, you know, we talk about TNA copying WWE sometimes and how frustrating it can be. Do you remember a couple weeks ago on Raw after John Cena lost at WrestleMania, how they were sitting there, how Michael Cole and Taz, or Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, my bad, Taz, I almost included you on a good commentary team. How Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler were saying that we haven't heard from John Cena all day. He hasn't been around. He's not present. We don't know where he is. All of that. That's what they were doing with James Storm. And this stuff, I mean, I understand that you're trying to tell a similar story, but you watch those Raw tapes and you go, okay, this, and this are what we're not doing tonight. You know, you just make sure. Same thing with that Team Root and Team Storm thing. When the other guys have done it in the last month, you don't do it yourselves. You know, it's elementary. Then we had Gunner versus D-Von for the TB title. D-Von won with the Spine Buster in 4 minutes. TB title match, I'm absolutely fine with it. James Storm came to the ring and passed D-Von as he went, and D-Von stopped and gave him a hug, and Tenay and Taz referenced the history that they have as tag team competitors against each other, and it was a pretty good moment. And they went to commercial. James Storm was in the ring as they came back, and he said he was sorry to everyone who he let down at Lockdown. He's sorry to the fans, to his friends, to his family, and he feels like he let them down. He said he felt satisfied at the end of the pay-per-view when he saw Bobby Roode carried out on a stretcher, and how he thought that was fine. He felt good about himself. But then he came home that night. He had to make that long drive home to Leaper's Fork from Nashville. I'm assuming they're pretty close. And he said he walked through the door and his little daughter went, where's that world title belt, Daddy? And he had to tell his little daughter that he didn't win it. Just great stuff from Storm here, guys. This was... James Storm is awesome on the mic. I say it a lot, and this was a great promo from him. And he said, Roode may have won the match, but Roode did not beat him. He looked at the camera very intensely, and he said that he beat himself. He's the one who beat him. And Storm talked about wrestling injured and how hearing people chant his name was like his own piece of heaven. He said he could go on and on, but he wanted to apologize to his father looking down, and he knew that despite it all, his father was proud of him. Storm said Roode stuck with him and said that maybe something Roode had said had stuck with him and said that maybe his luck had run out. And the crowd went silent and booed when he said his luck was gone. He dropped the mic and left. The crowd chanted cowboy repeatedly, and TNA's production team decided to get a sad shot of the microphone he dropped in the ring. really good promo from James Storm. I like it. It's the babyface having a crisis of confidence. It's the babyface not being sure that he can get it done. I like it a lot. My fear with it, and I've laid out this fear in audio this week too. Gosh, I've been talking a lot. My fear with it is that it turns into Sting's opportunity to go after Bobby Roode, and Sting wins the world title, and Sting gets the big moment at the 10th anniversary show. Or, Jeff Hardy or anyone else. It's not James Storm, and I think that you have to give James Storm his moment. It's never going to be what Nashville could have been, but you've got to give James Storm his moment. And him going home to reevaluate, it's okay, but I don't think it's good. You're not giving fans a chance to get attached to James Storm. And I think this is the wrong time in James Storm's career to do this story. There is a time to do this story, but not now. Not when James Storm is the guy that, what am I trying to say here? Not when James Storm is still the new up-and-coming babyface. That's when you give James Storm a lot of wins. You let him get momentum on his side. You let him cut awesome promos every week. You let people get attached to James Storm and seeing who James Storm is, what he does, and why they should love him. After that, you give James Storm the story. Once they're attached, once he's had that long title run and he lost it, once these things have happened, that's when you say, all right, now James Storm is going to move on to this story. But they're doing it too soon. It's the same thing they've done with Storm. Fans don't have a reason to be attached to him. They almost did at Lockdown, but now they don't, and the product is moving on. It's a great promo from Storm. It's one of his best ever. But I think it's come at the wrong time, and timing is everything, Then we had Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson in a three-way match to determine the number one contendership. This match went 5 minutes and 19 seconds and ended when Hardy attempted to hit RVD with the Twist of Fate. RVD rolled him up for a three count, and Rob Van Dam is the new number one contender. He celebrated to close the show. Quick thing about the 4 roll-ups on this show tonight. Wrestling companies employ these guys called agents. And it's a WWE thing, actually. It started there, and it moved on. TNA does it because it's a really great part of what WWE does. And most of the time, the agents, we see them on TNA TV every time there's a pull apart. It's Al Snow, Simon Diamond, D'Lo Brown. What those guys do is they sit with wrestlers and they go over matches. They book them. They talk about match finishes and everything. And the reason you have them is because the agents can talk to each other and say, well, okay, I think, let's book this match to end in a roll-up, which means that we don't have any other roll-ups on this show. Because if every match ends in a roll-up, suddenly roll-ups are common. One finish doesn't stand out from another one. Let's make this special. Let's have no roll-ups on this show at all. Or let's just have the one. It's like the agents skipped their meeting earlier in the day. I don't know what happened here. But every match ended in a roll-up, aside from D-Von's TV title defense. And that was stupid. So I don't understand that. About Rob Van Dam, why would you have the least motivated man in wrestling today as your number one contender? What's the point of that? I don't believe that he'll give us a good match. I think he'll tell us he will. But I don't believe that he'll give us a good match. I don't believe that he's really worth much. I mean, yes, he may be a name for... He may be a name for them to beat, for Rude to beat, but what else do you add? I know it's sacrifice and it's not a big pay-per-view, but I don't see it as worth moving on from the Bobby Roode program to do that. But that's me. Maybe you love Rob Van Dam. Tell me about it. Thank you guys for listening, and real quick before we go, I want to give a quick plug to the .NET members site, which is phenomenal. It really is. You get ad-free access to the ProWrestling.net website, which is great because I get annoyed when I have to go there and click on all the ads. But that's me. I'm spoiled by ad-free access, and I love it. You also get some member-first run news, things that aren't going to show up on the main page till a couple days later, aren't going to make it around the internet for a couple days, only on ProWrestling.net. On the member side of things, will you see that? You get access to the members forum. And you get, and you get our member audio shows, which are kind of the hallmark of the membership. You get .NET Weekly with Chris Shore and Jason Powell breaking down the news every week. You get the .NET Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett counting down the top five and bottom three moments of the week. You get audio recaps of every major shows, of every major show, and especially pay-per-views are normally member exclusive. And you get .NET interviews. Jason just sat down with, sat down recently with Just Incredible, sat down with a whole gambit of people. I mean, Chris Jericho's on there. Brock Lesnar's on there. You've got Conan, Don Marie. Like I said, Just Incredible. Shane Helms, just great people. Chris Shore recently sat down with Eddie Edwards. I mean, he sat down with Bobby Lashley. There's a ton of interviews on the member side of things. If you want to check it out, go to prowrestling.net. On the right-hand side of the page, there is a link that you can click. Hit your membership option, guys, and click that bad boy and go at it. For only $5.50 a month, if you take the annual option, boom, it's all there. Access, you've got it locked in. If you just want to try it out, it's $7.50 for 1 month, and absolutely worth it. I was a member before I was a staff member at the site, so I can back it up. I really do think that our membership is worth paying, is worth every penny. So TNA Impact, that show totally happened, right? Let's wait and see on the announcement from Hogan. Next week's show is really interesting to me. I'm excited about watching Impact, which is something new and different for me. But I'm also a little bit cautious because I recognize that it could be a train wreck of epic proportions. It could also be great. So there's that. Some good strides were made on the show. There was some solid wrestling. I can't complain too much. It was a good show that flowed well. But I don't think it's being booked well. I hope you guys can see the difference there, where I'm not excited about a lot of the booking decisions going on in TNA right now, even though I think that this week's show in a vacuum was fine. So, there's that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, as always, for your support of ProWrestling.net and, you know, member, non-member, whatevs. Thank you for visiting the site and listening to the podcast. For .NET, this is Will Pruitt signing off.